Great. Morning, everyone. Here this morning. Thank you so much for coming. Pray the Lord will bless you as we look at the Word together today. We've been looking, haven't we? I wasn't here last week, as you well know, as Sue has reminded us. But I understand Howard preached from Hebrews chapter 8 last week, and it was a blast. Really good. Well, we're just going to take a break from Hebrews just for a few weeks, because, of course, we're getting towards Christmas. Yes, Howard. Yes, we are moving inexorably towards Christmas. So we thought we would sort of mix it up a bit. We thought we might revisit our mission statement, just to remind you what our mission statement is. And then also we're going to have a family service, I think, next week. Howard and Liz are doing that. And then we're going to carry on with our mission statement the week after and the week after that. And then, surprise, surprise, it's Advent. So we'll be thinking about sort of the coming of the Lord and all of those kind of prophetic words that were given when Jesus arrived. So, and then, what happens after Advent? Oh, you're all really excited by that. Christmas, yes. We love Christmas, don't we? Tell you what, can I just let you into a real secret, okay? Because she's not here today. I've had a sneak preview. A sneak preview of the Christmas production for the kids, right? I'm telling you what, it's amazing. Okay, Nev has written it herself, and I tell you what, make sure you bring all your friends and neighbours. You know, we're gonna have a laugh. It's gonna be great, but it's gonna be serious too, because it's all about Jesus coming as a baby, isn't it? So there's just lots to look forward to. So I really hope that you're looking forward to that. I'm already looking forward to it. There's gonna be lots of practices. Lots of dressing up. You know, we love a bit of dressing up in Kings, don't we? Especially Howard. Every week, only on the weekend. Yeah. So Howard's going to get his sheep outfit out again. I still remember that, Howard. You know, it's just indelibly printed on my mind. Yes. So anyway, so it's going to be some fun. So look forward to that. That's coming soon, as Sue reminded us about those things that are going to be happening in the future. Make sure you don't miss out on that. There'll also be some, we had an away day yesterday with sort of leaders and some other people. And it was a really great day. One of the things we talked about more was doing some more social stuff so you can actually get to know one another. Because actually on Sunday mornings, you don't really have much chance to really get to know people, do you? 10-minute coffee and sort of you're off to go for lunch or to whatever the next meeting is. So we're going to do a few more social things, probably monthly. There'll be a meet and greet lunch for people who are new, hosted by life groups. That's probably going to be once a month, which works out at each life group does that four times a year because there are three life groups. Am I maths correct? Yeah, we're good. Okay, thank you. We're hoping to reach out to people and draw people in rather than, because I understand last week you had quite a lot of different people, new people that were here. They're not here today. So you kind of ask, why not? What would draw them in? What, and how can we do that better? So anyway, lots of new things going to be happening, and we're really excited about all of that. So anybody know? What our mission statement is. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Well, I tried. Yeah. All of you with the really good tellies up there. It's all right, Liz, you can put it back up. It's okay. It's a bit late now. So knowing our God, sharing our lives, serving our world, sort of encapsulates some of the things that that we hold dear. Today, I wonder if those three statements resonate with you. And what you think about them. Do they sort of sum up what you think about God's mission in the world today? Of course, God comes first. So we as Christians, knowing God, God knowing us, because he's our God. We share our lives, and that's our church life, and we serve our world. We get involved in things that, like Sue Griffiths and others came and talked about this morning. Sorry, Sue Hughes. Oh, are you married now? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Sorry, did I offend you? It wasn't meant to be offensive. Forgive me. So they encapsulate perhaps our mission as Bible Christians in an un-Christian world. We live in a world that is not Christian. We live in a country that is not Christian anymore. Maybe it used to be. I'm not really sure that it used to be, but maybe you think it used to be. Well, it's not anymore. And God comes first, and we acknowledge him as the source of our life as a church family. I'm just going to read one passage. I could have chosen a number of passages, but in the first chapter of Philippians, Paul the Apostle wrote this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. For all in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. For God was pleased to have all his fullness, the fullness of God dwelling in a human being, Jesus Christ. The only one ever bore the fullness of God, and his name is Jesus. Today we're thinking about knowing our God. What are the basic elements of getting to know another person? Well, I'm just going to be really specific here, so I'm sorry if I embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, what are those basic elements of getting to know a person? Now, somebody here has just recently got engaged. Isn't that right, Mr. Rooney? And we really congratulate you because, you know, we think that's absolutely amazing. We can't wait for Zoe to come over and join us over here. And oh, I think that's going to happen, isn't it? And we're looking forward to that. So, Alan, just to put you on the spot, what do you think is a basic element of getting to know a person? Oh, perfect. Okay. So that's the question. I'm going to ask you, one or two of you, in a minute. So if you don't want to answer, don't have eye contact with me. Okay. So communication is a really important aspect of getting to know someone. So you have conversations with Zoe, and Zoe has conversations with you. And you talk about things that actually maybe you find not as easy, and things that you do find easy, things of mutual interest. Yeah. Communication. Bryony. You've always got something to say. Come on. I love you. Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't. Why else would I say it? What do you think is important in terms of getting to know somebody? Yes. No. That's absolutely great. Yeah. So spending time with a person. I think spending time with a person is really good. How do you get to know what they're like? Everybody's looking down now. Everybody's going, don't ask. Andy, don't ask me. Don't ask me. Oh, please, don't ask me. So I'll be brave, Sue. I'm going to sleep in a shed tonight now. Yeah. Yeah, I'm lucky to have a shed. Absolutely. Brian. Yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sleeping in the garden then. Yeah, yeah. Under the big conifer tree. Sue, what do you think is a basic element of getting to know somebody? Sharing mutual interests. Okay. Cool. That's really good. Okay. I'll just throw this out open to anybody. Liz, what do you think? No, Liz had a hand up, by the way. Liz did have a, yeah, you know. You can always count on Liz, can't you, eh? You know, straight in. Come on, Liz. Being honest. Absolutely. Great answer. Being honest with one another. Anybody else want to really, Christine? In fact, that's the first word I've got on my list here. Genuinely, that is true. Trust is absolutely one of the basic fundamentals of a relationship. Being able to trust the person that you're with. I'll come to you, Derek. Showing vulnerability. Well, yeah, that's a difficult one, Jen, because some of us don't like being vulnerable, especially men. You wouldn't know that, of course, being a lady, but and a very gracious lady too. But, you know, us men find it really, you know, we're supposed to be, the world tells us we're supposed to be hard and macho and we're supposed to, you know, get it all sorted. We're supposed to have everything at our fingertips. But actually to be really vulnerable is really hard. Okay, straw poll. What men find it hard to be vulnerable? Yeah, good. No, that's okay. That's good. Because that is true. You know, that's why possibly relationships are difficult. Because us men don't like to be vulnerable. It's hard, isn't it? Anything else? Any other kind of... Oh, Ace, get a room. Stop kissing in the back. I'm joking. Okay. Being there for each other. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, standing... You know, when your partner or when your friend or whatever has some issues, you know, is going through a bit of a tough time or a really good time, you're there. You're together. You're there for them. Anything else that you think is important? John, having fun together. Yes, good. Yeah, Brian, getting to know each other's. Oh yes, and we all got our little foibles and idiosyncrasies. Yeah, we have, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Bryony, you had your hand up. Okay. Lying on the floor. Yes. Yeah. So you do things to help the other person. Yeah. Positively. Yes. Yeah. It's like putting the seat down. And gentlemen, when you stand there, lift the seat up, okay? Because there's nothing worse than having to wipe it all up first before you sit down. Bernard. Yes, okay, so regarding the other person, which is a biblical instruction, regarding the other person more than yourself, higher than yourself, putting them first, which I think is what Bryony was coming to. Anybody else just want to contribute? Dave? Yes, valuing them. Yeah, absolutely. I always think, this is maybe a bit patronizing, and I don't want it to sound like that. But I think a role for husbands and for men is to allow, well, not to allow, that probably that is too patronising, but to encourage their other halves to flourish and thrive and develop and grow. And you know, that's quite threatening, because you might find that they are better at things than you are. You know, I found that my wife is much better at hanging wallpaper than I will ever be. Right? It doesn't threaten my manliness yet. But if I found that she could strip an engine, you know, then I might be a bit threatened by some of that stuff. She's learning. She is learning. Yeah, on YouTube. Claire. Respect, absolutely. Respect is a great word. Steve. Love. Yeah, absolutely. Love. Oh, that's lovely, Arlene. Thank you. Yes. That five-letter word is so difficult to come out of our mouths, isn't it? Sorry. And mean it. And mean it, yeah, absolutely. Well, all those things, then, are the basic elements of get to know another person. But how do you get to know God? It's the same kind of things, you know? When we're trying to get to know God, about how do we trust him? How do we sort of love him? How do we respect God? How do we honour? Which is a word, of course, we haven't used yet. You know, we honour one another. Actually, I think it's a little bit about what Bernard wanted to say, but putting somebody above yourself. How you honour somebody. Getting to know a person, as John said, is full of fun and laughter, full of earnestness, full of commitment. We didn't use that word either, did we? Full of perseverance and tenacity. Sometimes, you know, love is not a feeling. I think there was a song written by somebody called Love is Not a Feeling, It's an Act of Your Will. Don Francisco, thank you very much. Yeah, it's not just a feeling. You know, I will love this person even though I don't feel like it today. Yeah, I will come and worship God today even though I don't feel like it. even though I'd rather be somewhere else or doing something else. You know, I came to worship God and I know whales are playing, right? You know, I'm here. And Scotland and Alan's here. Scotland are playing Japan, even, you know, and it's even more important than Wales game, isn't it, Al? Yeah? That's amazing. Wow. You know, those tenacity, perseverance and commitment are especially needed when we have a misunderstanding or a falling out. Have you ever fallen out with God? It's not all plain sailing, is it, this relationship stuff? It's not easy. It's not like a wide open road. You know, it's not like a motorway where we're all going the same speed and we're all going the same way. You know, there's people who drive in the opposite direction. There's people who pull out in front of you. There's people who carve you up. There's people all over the place doing all sorts of stuff to stop your progress in this relationship with God. And it's really tough to keep going sometimes. We all know that. And that's why church is really important in our terms of knowing God. Because we journey one with the other. You know, when you're struggling, we want to know about it. Because we want to support you and help you. Not because we can gossip about you or tell other people about you, but because we want to support you and help you and pray for you. And I hope that when we're struggling, we can say that to you too, and you'll pray for us and support us and love us, as you have done in the past, and that's really great. So with God, you know, we're on this exploratory journey, getting to know him and allowing him to get to know us. And it's a two-way street. I really believe that. God wants to know us. Now you might say, well, God already knows us. Yeah, he does. But he wants to get to know me. Me. I know he knows us as his creation. I get that. But he wants to know me because I'm an individual. I'm a person. As he wants to get to know you. You're not like me. And I'm not like you. We're all unique. And God wants to get to know us. Perhaps he wants to get to know us more than we want to get to know him. And that's true sometimes, isn't it? Knowing about God is different to knowing him. Theology is the study of God and all that goes with it. But it's possible to study God without knowing him. I know people who've got a degree in theology and don't know God. They know about God, but they don't know him. Knowing God is about a relationship. Let's see what the Bible has to say about knowing God. Jeremiah chapter 9, if you're following this and you want to open your Bible, that's fine. There are a number of, I've got three or four different scriptures here that share with us a kind of sense of what it is to know God. So Jeremiah 9 says this, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." If we're going to boast in anything, that we understand and know God seems to be important. Jesus picks up those themes, doesn't he, in John 17. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So the only true God, that's a very, very explicit claim. The only true God. So don't be fooled by many people who tell you there are all sorts of different gods, but of course we'll all get there in the end, because it ain't true. There is one true God, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Please, you know, in our world today, these number of gods are growing all the time. Be very careful. I'm just going to go off on a little tangent just for a moment. Because in the prayer meeting on Wednesday, by the way, life groups are this week. The prayer meeting is the week after, on a Wednesday night. So we alternate prayer meeting and life group, prayer meeting, life group. So if you can come to the prayer meeting, we'd love to see you. Come to pray. Prayer is really important. It is the boiler room of our church. It is the place where we intercede with God, where we come and knock on heaven's door for miracles and for intervention of our God. So if you can come and pray, please come and pray. Well, we were talking about or the state of the world. That's right. And we were just praying into the nation and all that kind of stuff. And you know, when you I don't know about you, whether you think in this kind of way, but when you think about the kind of chaotic nature of where we are right now, not just in the UK with Brexit and all those things that Sue prayed about, but a war in northern Syria and the relationship between Turkey and the US and the impeachment that's going on in the US and all of the things that go on around all of this stuff, the fragmentation in Europe, the all sorts of different things happening in all sorts of different places, it seems like a breeding ground for some person who's going to come and bring world peace. And we are supposed to beware this person who comes and offers world peace is the Antichrist. And it seems to me that the devil is stirring up stuff that is happening for this, the emergence of this person, whoever this person might be. And I'm not going to predict who this person is because we're not supposed to do that. But it seems that the times are coming when those things might be happening. And for some people, that is scary, okay? What are we going to do? Will we have access to money? Will we have access to food? Will we have access to our mortgages? Will we be able to keep our houses going? Will we have access to electricity and gas and all that kind of stuff? Will that all, because we're Christians, you know, and we're not going to follow this person? Yeah, probably. That's why church is really important. Because that's where we stand one with another, together. Coming. I don't want to be a scaremonger, but we are supposed to look at the signs and the times. We are supposed to weigh what is happening in the world. We are supposed to try to wrestle and understand the scriptures and see what the end times say. There are passages in the Bible that talk about this person who will rise up and will be this incredible leader who will lead everybody into world peace, but actually he will want nothing to do with God or his son Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Be on your guard. That is what the scriptures tell us. Be on your guard. Well, we're going to be guarding, okay? We're going to be looking out for that. So I'm sorry if that was just a little aside. I do apologize for that. Because I was reading in Daniel this morning, and Daniel 11 says this about the kings. He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Daniel 11. The people who know their God will stand firm and take action. So how can you stand firm and take action at the same time? Because we're standing on the truth of the scripture. Okay? We're standing in the footsteps of the Savior. So can God be known? Well, yes and no. Yes, because he chooses to reveal to us what we can understand and grasp about God. The Bible is clear that we only get a glimpse, a shadow, of who God is and what he's really like. You know from the Old Testament stories that anyone who looks on the face of God dies. He's such a holy God, such a magnificent being. Yet he's made enough of himself known to us so that we might have a relationship with him. And in the same breath, we can say, no, God is not knowable. Because there is so much more about God that we cannot know, which has not been revealed to us, nor can we understand. And Isaiah 55 comes to mind, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And the more we grow and develop in our friendship with God, the more we realize that we know so little about him. That's true, isn't it? The more we seek after him, the more we realize how little we know. He's so much bigger and expansive than we can ever understand. I love the fact that he is mysterious. God is mysterious. There is an unknowability about God that we find challenging. I like God to be mysterious. I don't want to know all about God. I want there to be things I don't know that I'm searching after. Otherwise, what's the point of being on the journey? I appreciate that I know that what I know about God is very little, yet somehow it's enough for now, for today. My knowledge of God grows and expands, yet he remains slightly out of reach, shrouded in ethereal wonder. I like that little phrase. Shall I say that again? That's my phrase. No, it's not from a commentary, and none of this is from a commentary. This is all at 5:30 this morning. Shrouded in ethereal wonder and beyond the grasp of my finite mind. It is true, though, isn't it? He is shrouded in this kind of just there. And I can't quite get there. But I think he does that deliberately so that I might go on seeking and go on looking and go on finding. However, I think Alan and I and maybe others here today can say that studying God, who he is and what he does and what he stands for, what his qualities are, is so amazing and so revelatory that it's become a lifetime's quest. And you know, to have the privilege of going to Bible college and to study the scriptures, and if anybody else has done that, then you know what an amazing thing that is. So secondly, we can say that he is our God. We can know him as much as he's made himself known, but he is our God. There's a personal element into this developing picture. We're journeying along a preordained route, and we are hopefully getting to know God more than we did last week or last year. We're hopefully growing. He's becoming more our God than he was. Of course, this presupposes that you are on that journey of discovery, that the God we're talking about here is known to you and you are known to him. How can you begin that journey to get to know God? Well, Jesus Christ, God's precious Son, makes that clear. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. It's pretty simple, really. Let me just run through it with you very quickly. God made a perfect world. Humans corrupted it, and God calls that corruption sin. There is nothing we can do to eradicate the sin in our world, but God can. So he sent Jesus, his precious Son, as one of us to live a perfect life, to take the punishment that we deserve for our sin upon himself. And so he died on a cross. And as he died on that cross, God laid on him all of my sin and all of yours. Now, because of Jesus, there's a way to be forgiven for all the sins we've committed. We acknowledge that Jesus took our punishment, and in doing that made it possible that we could be reconciled to God. Of course, that's not the end of the story. Jesus didn't just die. No, he rose from the dead. And so ensured that all who put their faith in him for dealing with their sin have everlasting life. So in effect, it's a double bonus. We're restored to God and our sin is washed away. We open our hearts to God, who reaches out to love us and care for us. And we are offered the free gift of eternal life. Wow, what a bargain. Do you know him? Do you know him to be the person that we're talking about? And all of this is freely available by faith. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You simply have to accept it. I was reminded this morning that it can't be somebody else's faith. It has to be you and God. If you are genuinely seeking for God to be yours today, well, we'd love to come. We'd love to have a chat with you, talk you through it, maybe help you find him. You know, the Bible says that whoever diligently seeks after God will always find him. So if you're diligently seeking, then he will be found. And finally, just to touch on a subject we talked about a few minutes ago, there are many gods that populate our world. There are religious gods, there are cultural gods. In fact, whoever occupies a throne in a person's life, they're a god. It could be many things. Who or what is the God of your life? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Who or what calls the shots in your world? See, the Christian God, the one we call the one true God, commands us to have no other gods before him. My Bible tells me that he's a jealous God who wants all people everywhere to come to know him. He's jealous for you. What prevents us from beginning that relationship today? What will people in our family friendship group say? What will my colleagues at work say? What do I have to tell anyone that I am now a follower of Jesus, that I know God and that God knows me? Well, I would suggest to you that that's a very good idea. Tell someone as soon as you can. Tell someone who sat next to you. Tell someone in front of you or behind you. Tell somebody by text or email. Tell somebody on a phone call or tell somebody face to face. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you tell somebody. You see, he wants to be your God. Your God. Not a God. Not his God. Our God. My God. Personally. God knows me. God knows you. With all of those idiosyncrasies and foibles that we have, Brian, God knows you. He wants to be our God. That takes a lifetime, but it can begin today. We have to all have to start somewhere. Knowing our God is the beginning of one of the most exciting journeys you will ever embark on. He wants to know you. Can you genuinely say that you want to know him too? That he is your God.